All right, I'm going to try to really embarrass you here with this intro. So, future Hall of Famer, I'm just going to throw that out there. Future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest NFL kickers of all time, three-time Super Bowl champion, Pro Bowler, New England Patriots legend, Steven Gostkowski. Welcome, Steven.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So, how does that feel, the future Hall of Famer? Does that feel sit well with you, or?
I mean, I don't see it happening. There's not too many guys in my position that get in, and I think I feel like Vinatieri and Tucker will get in, and everybody else will get looked over. But I might be on the ballot. You never know.
All right. Well, I was going to say that you're definitely in my personal top three. I'm maybe biased due to our relationship, but like take you out yourself out of the equation. You just mentioned two, like who's your top three all time kickers?
I mean, shoot.
We
Like,
saw, I, this
I
is,
gotta go. I
we
gotta go with
just,
Tucker,
Tucker.
Vinatieri. I guess, gun to head, it'd be tough. I mean, Vinatieri's got all the moments. Tucker's just a robot, so it's just pick your poison. They're both pretty dang good.
Do you have a like a third that like it like those two are kind of obvious? Do you have a third there or like
I think they kind of are. I think it's one and two. I mean, I don't
that's
know
it?
about the older guys to really. I didn't really know anything about kicking until I actually started doing it, and I didn't really follow it too much. But I mean, Tucker's just a beast, and obviously, Vinatieri like paved the way for guys to get a lot more respect. So those two guys are the GOAT. They can fight it out in a match for all I care.
All right, there you go. There you go. Well, you got my vote if that counts or anything. So, besides the obvious, like there's of accuracy, there's so many intangibles. Like, talk to us about just like the intangibles that we might not think of that a kicker has to have.
Ooh, I mean, it's all mental, and it's people, I guess, looking from a 100-foot view, think of us just as guys who just go out there, kick a few balls, and watch everyone else work. But when you make it to the NFL, these guys, they you turn into a sniper. You have to be very mentally tough. You have to have very thick skin, and kind of the cliche of what people think a kicker is, the ones that are good and successful, I feel are the exact opposite. I mean, it's a specialized role. You kind of have to train your brain to be able to deal with pressurized situations. You got to deal with everybody seeing your worst moments every time you screw up. There's no hiding when you screw up, and you're going to screw up. Even the best of the best do it. So it's how you respond to that, how you respond in big moments when your team needs you. It's really just a test of like your determination, your confidence, and it taught me a lot about focus, a lot about mental preparation. I think the hardest thing about my position is you cannot control what you get to do. You're at the mercy of how the team is doing. There are games where I woke up and I felt like, dude, you could put me out there from any spot and I'll never miss. And then you don't try any field goals. Or then there's games where you wake up, you don't feel too hot. You're like, damn, man, I hope they don't call on me today. And then you have to try like five or six field goals. So like just consistency and, when you screw up, not letting it lead into, multiple screw ups, because, at our position, if you screw up one too many times over and over again, I mean, see you later, bro. I mean, there's plenty of guys who have had a lot of talent that just for some reason get into a rut and they can't find their way out of it. So I just think those intangibles, you got to be rock solid in between the ears.
I mean, you 523 consecutive extra points, like talk about the consistency there. That's no joke. So I think that's an NFL record, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, with the new extra point, that might be tough to get. I will say I probably got like 450 of them on the easier ones. But yeah, it's also doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, I'm sure golfers and stuff go through it. It's you can drive yourself mad trying to reinvent the wheel when you're doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, I've probably kicked the ball a million times in my life, and to say that I was fully focused on every one of them would be a lie. Like you have to find a way to focus and take your job and take your craft seriously. So, I mean, that's the battle to me.
Yeah, I don't know if many people listen know, but or I guess a lot of the NFL guys would know, but or the Pats have it, which is the smaller field goals, like the uprights. Do most teams have those?
Yeah, I'd say most teams have them, and it's okay. A good thing to work on. I mean, aim small, miss small. You know, it's just a good way, a good challenge to really test how accurate you are.
Yeah, I was doing some, you know, obviously some research on you and looking in, and I saw that Matt Castle was the holder at one point, which just gave me a good laugh. Anything Matt Castle does gives me a good laugh. But do you have who was your best holder of all time? Guessing it wasn't Cass.
I mean, Castle's pretty good.
I
crushed in the playoffs that year.
Yeah,
and he was a good holder. I mean, he definitely is a, you know, you want someone who's going to keep it light out there. You want someone who's going to have confidence, have fun. And yeah. I mean, I talked to Castle this day. I mean, he was probably more nervous holding than he was playing quarterback. you know, it's a weird thing to just sit on the sideline and be called in to do an important job. Yeah. I had all great holders. I'd hate to single them out. I probably had my most success with Ryan Allen, so I got to go with my dog, Ryan.
Yep, yep.
But so, they were all good.
They're all good. There you go. Very political. If you've heard like a lot of the recent, you know, PF community interviews here, like just thinking about a ton about first and those first moments you have. And so it's 2006 and, you know, you come in to replace one of, like, as you pointed out, one of the greatest kickers of all time, Adam Vinatieri. You're coming on the field for your first kick ever. Do you remember that moment?
Well, I remember my someone asked me the other day what my most nervous kick was in my career, and I said the first one I ever had. I was about to shit my pants. but after that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's a very serious thing because people take football so serious, but at the end of the day, it's just a game.
Yeah. And
I worked my butt off to put myself in, you know, to have the ability to succeed. And I did that more times than not. And then it's one of those things, like, it's something that I enjoyed to do. And I like being part of a team, and I was going to just try my best to do that. But I mean, yeah, I was so ignorant. And when I was first drafted, I knew, you know, besides watching the Patriots on the Super Bowl, I had no idea about like how crazy like the Boston fans were, or the media. Yeah. So to me, I just came in and they weren't going to ruin my chance of living my dream, which was to be a pro athlete. I mean, I thought it would have been in baseball, but my curveball stopped curving and then my kick stopped curving. So I had to go the football path. But I just, you know, I was so singularly focused on being successful that I wasn't going to let doubters or people that wanted me to fail just because of the drama behind what happened with Vinatieri and the Patriots. So yeah. I didn't even think twice about it. I mean, I know that they talked about it all the time, but I just shook my head and focused on what I had to do.
Yeah. And so do you have a most memorable kick? I mean, obviously you played in some Super Bowls and all that. Do you have one kick that just stands out?
Yeah. I mean, the last field goal in the Rams Super Bowl, it was to ice the game. It wasn't quite a game winner, but you know, I'd had a couple misses in the previous Super Bowls that, you know, kind of lingered over me personally. And just to have a kick to help win the game, it wasn't my prettiest kick, but damn, it went in. And it was just kind of like, you know, you get to play in six Super Bowls, and I was looking for a moment. And it's probably not the best attitude to have because really you just want to win the game. But that was, you know, the biggest moment for me personally, and it helped the team. So it was like one of those things where it just kind of felt like a little bit of a monkey off my back. So that one for me was my most, you know, gratifying kick for sure.
It was pretty awesome. I was there. It was amazing. The thank you for that. The if you're a coach, are you icing a kicker, or do you just like, or you just let him kick because it doesn't really matter?
I don't think it personally matters. I mean, I think the only time it would matter is possibly if it is ice cold outside, or
so you're really icing them,
you know, just like, but you know, most of these guys are so good. I mean, it could go both ways. Like, especially if like it's a rush situation to where like, you know, the field goal team has to go out there and hurry themselves up, I probably wouldn't ice, but I mean, you're just, you're just throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks at that point. I mean, I think the good ones are going to make it. I mean, you could ice Justin Tucker a thousand times. It's not going to matter. Like I said, if it's a terrible weather game, I think that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's going to be what it is.
So going back to the University of Memphis, you had mentioned that you went there on a baseball scholarship. So what made you like transition or find football?
Well, so I was football, baseball, soccer in high school, and I had a chance to play all three in college. I'd say baseball, I was getting recruited the most. And I had to choose between baseball and soccer. So I chose baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was just so I had so much raw talent kicking wise. So I had pretty much invited walk-ons from any school, but they didn't give a lot of kicker scholarships back then. And, I came from no money. So it was I wasn't going to go just walk on and play football. So baseball was number one. And I had a bunch of different options, a bunch of different schools. But then, my baseball coach at Memphis, Dave Anderson, came in late. I didn't sign with a college till July. Mm-hmm. He played punter and shortstop for the Memphis Tigers, played in major leagues, won a World Series with the Dodgers. And he was like, yeah, you can come, you can play, you can do both. And he's like, we'll give you a baseball scholarship. And he's like, if you start football, they'll put you on full scholarship. And I went out there and I was going to play football 1 year. And if I didn't start right away, I was going to focus on just baseball. So I was really close to not even playing football in college. Looking back, I'm glad I did. I had a lot of people talk me into that, like my parents and my coaches. Don't give up on it. You're too talented. Because I wasn't really that into it. When I was in high school, I just did it because I was good at it. So I went there. The kicker from Memphis had just graduated, so I had a chance to start, and I ended up starting as a freshman, got put on full scholarship, and then, I got to play both sports all 4 years, and it was a pretty special experience.
That's really awesome. And the a unique fact I saw was that you used NFL tees in college, which are, I think, 2 inches higher than the college tees. Was that true? And is that something, do you actually get some thought into that?
Kicking field goals, you don't kick off a tee in college. So it's off the ground, just like the NFL. In high school, you kick off a tee.
But I saw that. Did you do any kickoffs in college or not?
Yeah, I did kickoffs.
But you didn't.
I don't remember.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of late nights in college, man. The memory's kind of fuzzy.
Nice.
I progressively got better and better each year that I was kicking in the NFL. In college. And it just became kind of an obsession because, I think the thing that motivated me to kick was not really for success, but the fear of failure. Yeah. I didn't want to let the team down. I didn't want to, it's like I was drawn to the positions where you can get all the credit or all the blame, but I was drawn to it because the moment never felt too big, but also I hated losing and screwing up more than I liked to win and be successful. And kind of a sick way of thinking about it. The way I beat myself up over a bad game or a miss is probably 100 times more than the credit I give myself when I do really well. And I don't know if that's something unique, and I don't know if that's very healthy for your life, but that's just kind of what drove me. And there's a lot of people who wouldn't even want, I talked to, a lot of my teammates that are like, dude, I would never want your position when it came down to game time. During training camp I would, but during game time, and it's just you do what you do and you do what you're called to do, and that's what I did.
Well, a lot of the greatest athletes I've been around, Tom being one, would say the exact same thing, that it's really not about the hoping to win, it's that you just how much you hate losing and avoiding that as much as possible. But I feel like, the position you played, play is so unique, and there's just the pressure that's on there. So I feel like I could go to 1,000 questions, but I am going to jump off the field here. And so you got your MBA at Indiana University. in a university. And tell us about that decision and what else you have going on off the field.
Well, they have the thing through the NFLPA, through the Kelly School of Business, which is like a top 10 business school. I mean, you have to apply and get in just like anybody else, but it was one of those things where you could go and you get your education paid for through the union. So probably about like 5 years ago, I started taking a class or two in the off season, just because, you know, I had little kids. There's a lot of at home time, the days of traveling all over the place and just doing whatever the heck I wanted was kind of over. So I wanted to, you know, get my brain going again. You know, like my conversations were either about like changing diapers or football. And it got to be where I was like, I need something more in my life. So, you know, I started doing that and, you know, a couple of classes each off season. You know, I kind of took the Van Wilder approach. It took me about like 5 years to get this MBA, but I didn't take any classes during the season. Then last year when I didn't play, I just banged it out in a year. You know, made a lot of good connections, learned a lot about the business world and a lot about investments. And I just wanted to be prepared for, you know, the time that came when I stopped playing and, you know, wasn't able to play anymore. Just to have an overall sense of, you know, what the real world's like, what business is like, and how to make connections, how to be smarter with my investments. Just kind of know the terminology so I can BS with people when you meet people out there. You know, everybody, you know, the crazy thing about the business school is, you know, it's kind of like everybody has like the business talk, and it's just kind of funny, like getting into that world where, you know, the same kind of phrases are thrown out there all the time. So it's kind of funny to throw yourself in a world that you don't know a lot about and you try to learn. And it was a great experience for me.
Always be closing. That's all you got to know. But what are you focused on off the field? And also tell us how the community here at Plainfield can support that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, during COVID, I made a couple of good real estate sales. So when the market was high, I took advantage of that with some properties. I got, you know, I do a ton of investments. There's a company that I invest in called Gel Sticks or Gel Sports. And actually Josh Miller, he punted for the Patriots my rookie year. He was on the Super Bowl team that beat the Eagles. He invented a gel that you put inside of a hockey stick, and it's like for a weighted training aid. A lot of NHL guys use it. A lot of high school guys use it. A lot of college guys use it. And then they use that same technology and they put inside like a driver shaft. So it's basically like a weighted driver that you can hit on the range. It's supposed to like help you add like, you know, 10 miles per hour to your swing speed. So invest awesome. In that, help along with that a little bit. That's going pretty well. Hopefully that can keep doing well. I mean, people spend a lot of money on golf and a lot of bad golfers out there. So if you want to add some distance to your golf game, go to Gel Sports to get you a gel stick. So, and then, you know, I'm just trying to make connections down here in Nashville. I don't know a ton of people yet. Trying to decide exactly what I want to do next. I think opening a business will be something in my future. I've been doing some volunteer football coaching, which has been a blast. You know, I've been really involved in my kids' sports, coaching them, you know, basically being like an Uber driver, and that's been a lot of fun. It's not very healthy lifestyle though, all these travel hockey trips and stuff. It's hard to find a nice meal. And then I'm going to start doing some radio broadcasts with some national radio. I actually get the call, the Patriots Colts game next weekend. So nice. See if I can not screw that up too much. I'm excited to try. You know, you miss 100% of shots you don't take. So we'll see if I'm any good at it. It'll be fun to see everybody and be involved in the game again at a different level. So we'll see if that can lead to anything else. I'm an open book. I'm just trying to find what's going to sit right with me, wait till this economy settles itself out. Look to do, I got some buddies that do commercial real estate. I might start doing some deals with them. So I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm a free agent to whatever business comes up. You know, I'm not really looking for the 9-to-5 job. I'm looking for, you know, kind of like entrepreneurship, how to dabble in a lot of different things and, you know, make some supplemental income off that.
Awesome. We'll include links and make sure to be following along and tuning into your broadcasting. But the last question I have is, you know, just over the years and, you know, getting to know you and, you know, having a friendship there, and just, you've always, like, even with great success, you've remained so humble and kind of just kind of one of the guys. So where do you think that comes from? Kind of that attitude and the way you carry yourself.
I mean, I think it's just a part of your upbringing. I mean, we moved down to Mississippi when I was 10 from Buffalo, and we moved down there. It's like a different country down there. You know, I go to inner city school from fourth to seventh grade. You know, just being around a bunch of different people, a bunch of different races, a bunch of different, you know, people in the economic line. You know, Mississippi is a great place. It's a very humble place. You know, it's good people, you know, great values. You know, there's not a ton to get going on down there, but you learn a lot when you have a little, I think, and making the best of my opportunities. I mean, there are times where I would be trying out for like a soccer team or a baseball team, and my parents would be like, I don't know if we can afford for you to do this. But then my coaches would say, well, all right, just pay when you can, or you don't have to pay this year. And just like the help that I got along my journey from my parents doing whatever they could. I mean, we never took a vacation. If they spent any extra money, it was on a pair of cleats or a bat or a glove, or, you know, all the friends that, you know, we would go travel to Florida or Alabama or Tennessee for a soccer or baseball tournament. All the parents' friends that I went with them because my parents at the time couldn't afford to take us. So just things like that, the people that go out of your way for you and the things you learn along the way. You know, I didn't always go to the greatest school or have the greatest equipment or anything, but I found a way to love the game, love sports, compete my butt off, and, you know, just have a goal of something that I wanted to do. And, you know, sports is great because it's something that I wanted to do instead of go out and get in trouble. It's something I wanted. I wanted everything to go right so I could do well in that. And, you know, that's what humbles you. And, you know, and kicking is such a humbling experience. Like, you can be on the top of the world and then everybody, you know, is sending you death threats the next day. So I don't think you have too much room to be cocky. So, but, yeah. You know, I've always tried to be humble and have humility. My dad preached that all the time, and just something that I hope, you know, my kids can learn.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for the memories over the years, the great kicks, and obviously your friendship and then your time today. So good luck with everything you got going on, and we'll all be following along close.
I do appreciate it, Ben. Good seeing you, my man.